Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, this is Red News Podcast 243, and it's we're doing the charity walk, so there'll be a Christmas one as well that you'll hear that we'll put out next week. But this is merely like pre-forest and reflect on the last week. So I was, can you say, pleasantly surprised about a defeat? I don't think that's the right term, but I was like, I was fearing worse than what we saw, and I knew we'd lose. You're not going to go instantly, especially with this group of players. So I thought there was a structure, there was a style, and you could see a real shape. You know, you had them, and then whether that was that they can't do 90 minutes or that Arteta gave their Stoke a massive rollicking, because you could see they came straight out of the half. So there were as many issues as there were positives. I thought Ugarte was good. I thought Malacia really surprised me, because there were groans outside when he was in the team. I thought for a bloke who's played minutes in 550 days, that was pretty incredible. And Amorim was quite on to him. And you could actually see, like, oh, he could get carried away. He could do all right in this system. I thought Højlund had one of those games, which he has, because, yes, his age is the caveat, where a defender must love playing against him, because he's just easily marked, he's easily markable, he doesn't hold the ball up. So you think, well, we were needing an outlet, and we need it. And good Amorim a few times, he said, he's at that stage where he can say, the day before Arsenal, there's a storm coming. Now, a year's time, when a manager says that, we all sigh and go, oh no, here we go again. But he's at that stage where he can say. So there are storms, I think, City and Liverpool. I'd be amazed if we get points from there. But what he did also say was in the final third, and we know this, you know, that's where we've lacked. And I think Rashford should have started. I think Ahmad should have started. You know, like, he's seeing all the players. I thought Yoro, apart from that one mistake, looked good. De Ligt keeps impressing me, especially in the air. You think they're so good in the air. It's almost, it's pathetic and annoying. Why haven't we got coaches who can drill that in? I mean, you can just see it. There's fear. And to give them that many corners, you know, a horrible mistake. But it's like they're a level. Perhaps they're not a title-winning level, but that's a level we've got to achieve. And it comes, I'll go on to Nick first. But Odegaard, I thought, was very, very, very good. And he was, like, driving them through that second half. And it made me think, and maybe this has been a bit unfair on Bruno, because we're picking on him a bit recently, but A, he's captain. B, yes, he's got great goals and assist tally. Fantastic. But you never, and Nathan, I think, made the point in the group that he plays the 10 role and he's out wide, so he's always shifted along. But you want Bruno to be driving your team forward like Odegaard did. And it sort of like was a stark comparison. So there were positives, but also familiar. It was just I hate to say the word, free hit.
Yeah, free hit's probably a good way to describe it. I mean, obviously they say football's a game of two halves, and that's exactly what that was really on Wednesday night, wasn't it? You know, you saw the team sheet come out and thought you're going to play with about nine defenders. You could see exactly what we were going to try and do. You've only realistically got Højlund and Garnacho that were going to do anything going forward in that first half. And like you said, Højlund, we know his limitations. He's good at some stuff. I thought he did okay in the first half. I think he should have done a lot better with holding up the ball, but I thought he put a great shift in and he works hard. We can't accuse him of being lazy and not trying, and he certainly was doing everything he could do in the first half. But you knew that if he was going to have to change up sooner or later. He wanted an outlet, Ruben, didn't he, in the end, in the second half. And you could see whether it was going to, there's no way he wasn't going to put Diallo on. You know, he's played so well at the moment, hasn't he, that you had to get him into the game sooner rather than later. Then ultimately, as Nathan said on Wednesday, if you're going to come out and then try and go for it, bad things are going to happen, and that's exactly what did happen. I mean, I don't think they massively carved us open a lot, and if it wasn't for that first corner going in, you just wonder how long could we have persisted.
Margins, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And, you know, flashback to playing Tony Pulis and Stoke City, isn't it? You know, it's funny because we talk about Arsenal, about this free-flowing, beautiful football side, and they're now known for something different.
That was the thing. We frustrated them so much in the first half. And I said in the group during the game, I was like, I know that you shouldn't be going in hoping for a draw, but considering where we've been in the last year, like 6 months, whatever, compared to where they've been, I'd 100% have snapped your hand off for a draw in that game. And I was a little bit, not disappointed, well, a little bit disappointed in the second half, because I was like, I know that he wanted to go and win, but that's always going to open. And like you say, it was two like set pieces, but other than that, it was just like, I'd have loved to have come away from that with a draw. And I know that he even said, didn't he, he was a bit upset about our attacking threat. But I think you can still be upset at that, because the ideal thing would to be dominate the game. But going away there, you want to be defensively good at the back, and then have, if we get one chance, take it. And we just don't have that, which was frustrating. But
well, that's right. Yeah, that's the experience, right? You know, get a chance, put it away. We just don't have that, so we're not capable of that sort of result yet. Yeah, it's all yet. Hopefully,
but like I said, like I don't think we'd have even. I still think it was a really good performance, if anything. Do you know, like for the situation that we're in and the number of games that we've had under him in a totally different system. You know, like you say, it was two corners that you'd like to think that you could deal with, but we know how good they are at them. You know, it's a difficult one, because obviously, you know, you want the win, but it's not the worst.
I thought there was a lot of positive to take away from it. I think the major thing is obviously looking like we're actually capable of being
set up well.
I didn't think just going back to you said about thinking Ahmad should have started, but I was 100% that about him not understanding why he didn't. Because, like, I wouldn't trust him for 90 minutes or however long to do the defensive against their attackers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe it was the fact that, you know, Malacia came off at half time. I obviously get he's not got the legs to. But maybe it was stuff like that that did mean they were more confident to attack. Do you know what I mean? As soon as they realised that Ahmad's in that position, they can go for it a bit more. Do you know what I mean? Because we're basically a defender out. Do you know what I mean? So
I didn't leave distraught. I did think, like, we're having the Bruno debate, which we weren't doing 2 or 3 years ago, because he was on that immense patch of consistent form, that he's not as consistently good as he was. That's clear.
I think also, does that not also say that, in general, the squad's a lot better? Because 2 or 3 years ago, he was the standout best player. Do you know what I mean? He was head and shoulders, like, he was the one. Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas now, I don't think maybe it is a combination of he's dropped off a bit and the squad in general has got better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's almost like, because he tried a couple of worldy passes, and when they come off,
well, I said this on Sunday.
You just need to rein him in, you know, like.
That's exactly what
he
I said
needs
on
to occupy a space, really. Phil, you haven't been on here a while. How are you?
I'm very well.
How are you doing on this walk?
I'm all right, yeah. Not too bad. I'm still going. That's the main thing.
What have you made? What did you make of Wednesday?
I'm disappointed we didn't really lay a glove on him, but you had to be careful with what you went, how he played. Disappointed with the goals, obviously. The result, not unexpected. And I think we've got to pick our battles going forward, and I think tomorrow is an important game to keep the momentum going.
These are the games you've got to win.
Yeah,
like, if they're free hits, not that we want to be in that position, and Man United, you know, of old, but you've got to win tomorrow.
Yeah, we are starting again a little bit, aren't we? So I think tomorrow is important. You know, they're above us in the league. They're not going to be an easy hit, but these are the sort of games we need and want to win. So,
and it gave me hope for the cup. It did, because I think he'll rotate, because he knows he's got to really do better. You know, the title, if they've got to do it, it's for them, but it's this year. So I think he could rotate, and we play a strong team.
I think
9,000 Reds, that'll be a great day out.
Yeah, I think the two cup games for us, Tottenham particularly with the way they played last night, I think, you know, there's hope for that one. We could get a Tottenham side on form or off form. We just hope they're off form.
And you ended up in a kebab shop after the pubs had closed.
Yeah, we couldn't find anywhere else, so then we happened to find a kebab restaurant shop with serving alcohol till 3 o'clock, so not the best preparation.
Stamina. What did you make of Amorim and Tenag?
Tenag got to go. Like with most of the managers we've got rid of, you know, since Ferguson, there's a reason why they had to go when they went. I think Tenag had the plan and the process nobody really understood, and I don't think he did in the end. And it, yeah, he had to go. Thank you very much for the two trophies. You know, the City Cup final will forever live in our memories, like Everton 85, Liverpool. You know, the great days in the history of the club, so you've got to thank him for that. Amberin, I'd watched him quite closely in the last couple of years. Very highly rated. Like the way, never heard him speak about football since he's come now. Talks the talk, you know, hopefully he can turn it into his plans into goals.
I like, he's much more, and that's probably a very simple football thing to say, but he's very much more dramatic on the touchline, which I do prefer. No, especially,
he,
you know, like.
He looks like he cares. The players can tell when he's not happy. He can see what we can see, I think, a bit more. Whereas Ten Hag sat on his arse, not doing a lot, was very frustrating when you're a couple of goals down and nothing's changing. He's given all the players a little bit of a chance. He's mixed the team up quite dramatically, but he's given all the players a chance in game situations, which is only fair. He's working out already who can play where and who can't, which is what he needs to do. So, yeah, I think already he's made an impression, and I think things are looking, you know, quite positive.
Yeah, and this season with United being United, doing United things.
Yeah.
66 quid.
Yeah, I mean,
we haven't got any mince pies or teas coming here.
No. Yeah, the £66, it was a bit out of the blue, but given that situation with the owner, Mr. Ratcliffe, being quite brutal with the get rid of staff, and you know, there's all sorts of stories that you don't really want to hear from a club like United, and how they've got rid of people, you know, low hanging fruit, staff who've worked here for years on low wages, and really, really, you know, disappointed in that. The fact that they're trying to say 97% of tickets have been sold, so they're gonna hit the people who go late on and want to get a ticket. Well, tomorrow's a prime example. They haven't sold every ticket out tomorrow, and surely if they don't realise now that Notts Forest on a Saturday would normally have been an attractive fixture, and they can't sell it out.
Yeah.
And you know, knowing full well how many season ticket holders are transferring every week. You know, you could get 100 tickets tomorrow from season ticket holders, I know. Well, who aren't going and can't transfer them.
And it's a dad wanting to take, say, his lad and daughter would be £186 before they've even got that out the door.
Well, the supports club,
to see a 530.
150 supporters clubs have got together and come and said, listen, you know, we'll be folding if you carry on with this, because people just won't go.
Well, United have done a U-turn.
Yeah, there's a U-turn on the supports
club. So I hope that there's a U-turn. They should have done it in the first time. I keep waking up thinking I'll hear that they're announcing a U-turn in general towards it.
Yeah,
because if they make initial steps for a U-turn, trust me, if we keep the pressure on, they'll make the bigger ones. We've seen it before with this club. But it just like... It's just the branches have been shafted for years anyway. You know, the people who kept this club going in the 80s, bringing people here.
I think one of the problems is, you know, they're throwing that as a bit of a let's test the water, see what the reaction is. Obviously, knowing that there's going to be some kickback. Well, okay, little win with the supporters club so far. If they totally U-turn, that's a start.
Yeah.
But you know full well next year, season ticket prices are going to be going
through
the roof.
No, but there's rumours that it could be 20%.
20%. So you're looking at £50 in case of them. You know, it's going to tip people over the edge.
Yeah.
You know, we're nearly £70 in South.
You know, you think Nathan's point, you know, like we're talk football and we're talking these misdemeanours by them. And like we're walking outside, I mean, that's symbolic in a way, but it's just like something that we love and care about so much doesn't care back.
No, it doesn't care back.
We've always known that, but it's just like, but
it's further apart.
Then forget us dinosaurs. It's when you target the future, then it remains, and I won't lose my temper to that, but it remains scandalous. And, you know, I say on pitch and off pitch was my message last week. I went on Wednesday with no expectations and thought, oh, I can finally, this is a novel approach. I saw United not just in a structure, but actually when they lost the ball, returning back to that system and set up. So we'll see. There's so much. Yeah, I don't think we're many, you know, I don't know.
Like you said, the manager, you know, we've got a few bumps in the road. And Arsenal was always going to be a bump in the road.
Yeah.
You know, win tomorrow.
This is 18 months before we can really judge or anything. Yeah. John, you've come from Australia. How have you found the walk?
Yeah, it's been sound. Enjoying it.
And what have you made of United on pitch?
On the pitch, it looks better. At least at Old Trafford, we scored 7 goals in the last 2 games. Everton and Europa League night on Thursday, atmosphere has improved since, you know, the final days of Ten Hag.
Do you agree with that sacking?
We've gone through it many times. We had many different profiles. We had Moyes, proven in the Premier League. Louis van Gaal, he had a pedigree all across Europe. Then you had Jose, specialist in winning the Premier League. Then you had Solskjaer, right? He was up and coming, he had potential. He won 2 leagues in Norway. It's no mean feat, that's still something. And then Ten Hag, beautiful team with Ajax, with flair and attacking football. And now we got Amorim. So what exactly the point is, like, continue to churn out managers every 2-3 years.
Yeah, there's progress in shaping it. Like, if they say the club are shaping a system, then it's got to, they've got to stick to that. On the level, you know, you come from Australia for games, your plan is to move to Manchester. What does United mean to you?
It means a lot. It means home. Literally, it means home. Manchester's home for me.
How did you feel, like when we're walking around now, it feels like, I always maintain there's a heartbeat, there's an essence here.
Correct. It's very hard to explain it in words. It's magical, like when it goes silent. It has a different feeling on a match day. Like, you feel that energy pulsing in. Like, where I usually go for my ticket, I'm in TRA.
Yeah.
I feel that extra energy. I feel psyched up for the match, ready, like, to get behind the team, no matter what.
That's you must get so giddy for your trips when you come over, because you're here for the month, aren't you?
Yeah, correct. I treat it, right? I don't know if, like, if it actually makes sense. As if, like, this was the first ever match I'm going to, and also will be the last one I'll be going.
Well, how important it feels. That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. I was one of the privileged people who was actually at the derby day before COVID lockdown. You know how many people were killed for that?
Yeah.
It's historical in many ways.
Yeah. No, that's great. And what's your prediction tomorrow then?
Forest. You know how United are. It's a bipolar.
Yeah.
Let's say 2-0.
I'm going to go goals tomorrow. 3-1. Let's catch up with the others. Yep. Have you enjoyed this? Fair play. You've done this in shorts, mate. This, we're marching on. It feels... I don't know, hard to explain really, but I'm glad we've done it because there's been a great community. The amount of people who've come and joined us for a few laps, there's a few who've done the whole lot. It just, like, it's what it's all about really. And for so many of you to donate money to such a special, and you're here on the Christmas pod, Finn from Manchester Mine came and joined us, so it not just helps, but it goes to where it really matters. Phil, prediction for tomorrow? Well, today you'll be at Forest. Pretend we're doing this just before kickoff.
I'm going to be fairly confident. I think we'll. I think we'll win 3-1.
3-1. I've got. I'm going 3-1.
2-0.
2-0. Nick.
2-1. Yeah, I think we'll score.
Any hates of the week?
I think the fact that I'm on about my 20th lap of Old Trafford and about glory, glory, Man United every single lap that I've done so far. I'd like to probably put that one in there. Quite. Could not hear that for a while.
25th lap, in fact, Nick. Can I just say that I was walking... If you listen back, my love of the week, if you listen to the pod last week, 242, a bloke at the end goes, "Peter! Peter!" like Dan out of Partridge. And I hope Peter's all right. I wanted to know who Peter was. Peter, if you listen, it's great. And then the other thing, I got off the tube at Highbourne Islington and they had signs for "Come and see Hugh Jackman sing at Hyde Park," and I thought,
"Who?
Hugh Jackman, the actor. I presume he's going to sing the great. I've never seen it, but The Greatest Showman." But
he's actually from my neck of
the woods. So I better I'll refine my vocabulary towards him. But who the hell would see Hugh Jackman sing songs? I mean, you wouldn't pay in a pub to see Hugh Jackman sing songs, let alone Hyde Park. The world's just bonkers.
Anyone hates Phil? Apart from me getting you to walk this?
It's modern day football, really.
That's an ongoing eternal. Yeah, that'll be for the Christmas hates of the year.
Yeah, there's a few.
And also, there's Guinness shortages in the UK.
Well, I don't drink Guinness,
and they're rationing.
Don't care.
And they've blamed it
on
the amount of more rugby games in November that people are going. So, rugger buggers. I never liked rugger buggers in the first place. So, rugger buggers are costing us pints of Guinness at matches.
United's away and at Arsenal wasn't the best.
I'm going to save it for the Christmas pod. All right, we'll do that. Cheers, everyone. Take care.
Evening, team. It's Nick here, Red News Seller, just doing a little bit after Forest 3-2. We were initially planning on going to the Pev, and I think a few people did, but just wasn't up for it after today. Just feel absolutely beat, to be honest, after the last 2 days has been quite full on. Obviously, we did the walk yesterday, which, you know, was quite arduous. I think I did about 40, 45K, something like that in the end. I know Nathan went on and did more. But don't feel too bad for it. maybe until 5:30 today, but yeah. I mean, yesterday, obviously, from 11 onwards, up until 3 p.m. today, until me and Barney started selling, you know, Man United can't take that away from us. You know, that is what United is. You know, I thought I'd start on a positive of seeing everyone come down for the laps yesterday was brilliant. You know, it made the time go a lot quicker in the 6 or 7 hours that we were lapping the place for. You know, no suit. No matter what this club do, no matter what the ownership do, they'll never take that away from us. But I mean, Today was just awful from 3 p.m. onwards. You know, we had a couple of pints of Guinness in bank beforehand, and Barney and I are just looking at whoever going, you know what, we should probably have another one here before we leave. Wish we'd stayed in there, to be honest. It was certainly the highlight of the day. Selling today was just awful. You know, some people have asked me, you know, what's the worst sell that you've ever done for the mag today? Someone came over and actually asked me that while I was selling. I said, look, nothing's going to beat West Brom at home in 2012. You know, I think it was Van Persie that scored, but I just remember, I don't think I've ever been that wet. That was awful. City at home when it snowed and we got beat, and someone came out from one of the burger fans and gave me a cup of tea and just went, go home. That was bad. That was number two. And Brighton in the FA Cup, which was just, that was just another level. It was Baltic. That I think it was March as well. It wasn't even like it was in the middle of winter, and that was just so cold. But today's not far off that. Today was absolutely grim to sell a paper-based product in. So just, you know, I've had to come home and shower. You know, just I don't think I've ever done that before. My boxes were wet. I've had 3 pairs of socks on today. They've just all just been wet. It's been horrible. And it's been cold, and tram delays getting home. God knows how Barney's done it, sitting on a train going back to London, because today getting on the tram back to Whitefield was hard enough. Could have cried, but I've had to have a glass of red wine. I've had a rant at the wife, and I feel a bit better now, but yeah, crikey. But anyway, on to today. I mean, £66 to watch that. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Of something that didn't sell out, you're down to general sales. I'm sure there was probably a couple of Forest fans that probably jumped on it if they were looking at tickets and stuff today. You know, you can't even beat the first man off a corner and you're trying to sell tickets for £66. It's just mind-blowing, isn't it, really? You know, speaking of corners, 90 seconds in, and look at that, it's deja vu again. You know, we think we've seen this before from Wednesday night, and we've conceded another goal. That's what, three goals in less than 45 minutes of actual game time that we've conceded from a corner. I mean, it's just brutal, isn't it? You know, no one's covered themselves really in glory today. You know, the team's got to take full accountability of it, as well as management and all the rest of it. It's a real dire performance. You know, a lot of people are going to blame Onana immediately, obviously, for the second goal. I don't want to criticise him too much because I think he's been very good this season. I know I've made that point on a couple of different podcasts so far this year. So I don't really want to go too far in on him. You know, all goalkeepers are going to have the odd moments. You know, Lord knows, you know, Schmeichel and stuff like that were crazy, some crazy moments. So I don't really want to go in too hard on him. But, you know, crikey, it was bad. I mean, Nuno, Forest manager, he just loves playing against us, doesn't he? You know, whether it's been with Wolves, Forest or whatever, just seems to irk out these results against us, and he's just coming a bit of a bogey manager, if that's ever a thing. I know you've had bogey sides back in the day, but is it bogey manager would definitely be what Nuno is. He just seems to find a way to play against us. I mean, today, I mean, a lot of people were criticising Bruno in our WhatsApp messages, and, you know, look, I think everybody knows, and we've certainly documented the problems that we've seen with Bruno, but you see, it's one of those games today, isn't it, where you get good Bruno and bad Bruno, and maybe you get more bad than good today or whatever, and people go, well, do you ever really get a good Bruno game, as Coggy said in the group? And it's tough, really, because, you know, he's not world-class. I think maybe if you go back to 2020, 2021, maybe even 2022, we were talking about him as being one of the best players in the Premier League and in Europe, and he was world-class, and I don't think he is world-class anymore. I don't, you know, I do think he probably was there, but the problem is with Bruno is he is the best in that role and creativity of what we have right now, sadly. You're going to get your misplaced passes. He's going to give the ball away for that second goal today. But you're going to get a world-beating pass that he does where he sets up a move with an absolute beautiful pass out, and then he finishes it. And his goal today was fantastic. And you just think, who else in the squad can do that? And, I mean, you could say the same for Ugarte in a way, because, I mean, his pass for the first goal was brilliant. You know, he won the ball back, and for the second one to start the move off. And, you know, watching those two go off today, and I'll get pelts for saying it, but watching those two go off today was just, for me, I felt like I could have left at that point. I didn't. I stayed to the end today, or 95 minutes, you know, so, but you just look at Ugarte and Bruno, and you just thought, as soon as they went off, you thought, well, no one else is going to do anything, are they? I mean, you look at Mason Mount coming on. I mean, crikey, what is he? Somebody needs to explain to me what he is. I feel like I only vaguely remember him at Chelsea, or even when he had that good tournament for England and everyone was singing about how great he was. I'm just thinking, is he? What is he? You know, we laughed, didn't we, years ago, and Barney was like, who is Fred? What is Fred? I feel like that is now what we're on about Mason Mount. But he doesn't seem to touch the ball. It's like you're effectively playing with 10 men with him. And, you know, we said the same thing about players like Rashford, and him and Mount are on finishing the game. You think, well, are we playing with 9 men? You know, it's, how are you going to get a result from that? I do feel like I'm repeating myself with that sometimes, but, you know, even trying to watch the manager just juggle around again, I can't be arsed with it all. It's so painful to see, watch a manager go, well, he doesn't know about this player and he doesn't know about that player. And we're like, we're looking at players that just aren't good enough being here, and he's putting Rashford in the 10 role on the same side as Ahmad, and you're thinking they're both getting in each other's way, and you just don't feel like he knows the squad yet. So it's not a criticism on Ruben, but you just kind of think that someone would be sat there going, look, Rashford's good at this, Ahmad's good at that, he's not good at this, he's not good at that, and you tell them, and we don't have to sit there and watch it. It's just so frustrating, it really is. You know, someone said after, it might have been Shane actually in one of the groups, just saying, look, at least it's not a false dawn of a new manager bounce. You know, that really would have been annoying, wouldn't it? You know, obviously if they come in and they started doing that, look, it's good that he's seeing the shit of the squad early, because hopefully it means that it can be a bit of a short-term pain, long-term gain kind of thing. But Lord help us next week, because you know what's going to happen. City are going to get their act together at some stage, and it's going to be a real another ugly one next week. I think it's probably covered it really for the football. I don't think anyone wants to listen to the Forest one today, but I'd like to give a shout out obviously for everyone that bought the mag today. Massively, massively appreciated. You guys are what Manchester United are. It's not what the suits say, it's not what they do. You know, you guys who keep this community alive, the donations for Manchester Mind that have come in, you know, have just been incredible. To get over £3,000 is what we're at the moment on sponsorship page. You know, you guys are what make this football club. You know, it's not what the suits are, and they might get us down at some times and all the rest of it, but you have to make sure that you're leaning on the community of what it is. And, you know, some people were brilliant today. Give a shout out from Tom from Bournemouth, who came over, or, you know, should I say Stockport now, he's moved, but he came over and just said some really nice words. He was like, look, I'm a subscriber, but, you know, I want to get it in print as well. I know it's tough when it's weather's like this, and came over and bought the mag and just give a hug, you know, and it's like stuff like that just gives you a real pickup. And it's like, you know, it's people like that, like you, Tom, like many others. I know there's loads of others that do the same thing as well, but, you know, it just doesn't go unnoticed from from you guys out there in terms of support. Same with Damien as well, said some nice words today. He was sat next to at the game, you know, said some really nice words about it and got a copy of the mag as well. You know, as I said, that's what the community is of Man United. It's getting smaller and smaller, no matter what the suits do to try and divide us, you know, and get us to try and hate them tourists coming in and taking in the tickets. It's not their fault that they're paying, you know, these monies to come in and see it. We've just got to ensure that we're doing our bit, where, you know, if we can be affording to do so, to try and take the pennies away from what they're trying to do, or, you know, just give a little bit of a fuck you with a protest, you know, in some capacity. And seeing that £66 banner today in the ground was great, you know. But the way I look at it, for me, is my protest is every single game is being outside opposing of what a real fanzine is. Red News is a real Manchester United fanzine out there that really, really wants to stand up for what we believe is right. And we won't always get it right, we know that. But we want to make sure that we're always out there giving real fans a voice out there. And to see the few copies that we sold today, which on a second day is soul-destroying, and it's really difficult, you know, to see that, you know, it's disappointing to sell so few, because you're looking at so many people today of record numbers asking, is it the programme? You know, I think someone came over to buy and he thought that he was selling Rain Max today. Not even selling a paper-based product, as they could see. Someone was selling Rain Max, but it's just been that kind of day today. And we're getting more and more of these kind of people that are coming in. And that's not to dig these people out. You know, I did the same thing going watching AC Milan the other week, but it really needs to be a case of our community needs to be protected with it. And I know we've covered it on previous podcasts, but it started to dwindle, and you can feel it in the community of people that we go with in the WhatsApp groups I'm in. People are getting exhausted with it. And it's anything that we can do to try and keep the old ways of football alive, to give you guys a voice of what it is. That's what Red News is. And if you believe in that, and you believe in the fact that this £66 thing, amongst all the other stuff that's coming in, and the rumours of 20% increased season ticket prices for next year, are something that you feel strongly about, then this is why the fanzines matter. And the fact that we're dwindling in sales means that our voice is becoming less and less and less on a matchday experience. And for me, it is becoming genuinely mentally breaking about it. You can hear it in my voice. It's been 13 years. Barney's done it for way longer than that, since 1987. I've done it for as many home games as I can do. I only miss maybe a couple of them a season of selling at home. But other than that, I'm at every home game trying to give a protest to give you guys a voice of what this is. Many others obviously contribute to it as well. And the fact is, though, is that when you see the sales that we're getting today is so low, it's genuinely demoralising when you think we're trying to stand up for what the fans are and what it should be. And you just feel that that is something that is slowly, slowly dying out there. And it's really, really tough to try and survive and give you guys that voice and have that protest. But, you know, anyway, everyone that bought it today, thanks very much. Just remember, that's what Manchester United is. Don't let the suits take it away to you. If you've not donated to mine yet, the campaign's still open, so you can donate for that. I dread to think how many kilometres we've all walked, or miles, should I say, as we got pulled up on yesterday, for what we could all walk together. It's been quite a mammoth total, really, and it's caused a lot of issues. You look at Nathan's feet, sent a big picture in of his blister this morning. You know, it's it was tough yesterday, it was, and, you know, as I say, it's, if you can donate, you know, a quid, 2 quid, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what the total is. Just if you can put anything in, as I say, Christmas isn't for everyone. And, you know, that wasn't easy yesterday. But yeah, look, that's me. I was only going to do 5 minutes and I've done 13. I'm sure Barney's going to edit that down, because I've definitely been going on with myself. But as I say, anything that you can donate to that would be great. And keep the faith. Keep the faith, guys. Don't let them win. Fuck Ratcliffe, fuck Ineos, fuck the Glazers, up the Reds and up the Red News community. Thanks very much.
Hello Reds, it's a post Forest bit a bit late, but finally thawed out, dried out. Feet aren't aching. Thanks to everyone who supported the Mind and the Mag. It was a disaster day, so if you can support us, please do. And for people who came along or have donated to the Mind campaign, it means a lot. There's a Christmas pod to come, as we say, but this is just tying up the loose ends of another. A bit angry and a bit sulky, to be honest, immediately afterwards. Now I just feel, you know, that I've said for a while that I think United is broken. And I do. I think the relationship between fans and club, are they hell in fan engagement? I just think it's... This is platitudes coming from certain suits. And I think the whole direction of the club is just misfocused. Well, we can't say about the Glazers, and if they do, they say they're great owners, which is a load of fucking nonsense. But not only that, I think we're a bonkers club. So trying to catch up within just a few days. Oh, Ashworth's come in and he's gone again. And yes, that may well happen at the elite executive levels, but it's not a good look, is it? When you spend that amount of time on gardening leave getting in the best in class and then saying you don't agree. He hasn't hit it off with Brailsford, and ultimately Ratcliffe saying that I don't make the decisions, I'm hearing, is a bit of nonsense because he's to do with everything. So he's spinning a few plates there. Brailsford, he's not a football man, is he? So that does concern me. I've said that before. But when he's spent longer digging up weeds on gardening leave than digging out the weeds in our squad, ultimately just points, 19 points from 15 games. I thought, kept thinking, oh, as the season goes on, surely this will get better. It's not. It's turning into one of those seasons. None of this on Amorim. You can see his style, but with this squad and with these players, I just feel there's more pastings to come, and you go with the ones who can learn, because they're a very stupid team. They're very, very stupid. They do daft things. They do stupid things. So it's just, how can you get that through to their brains, what you want to achieve? We know that from Ten Hag, and like, ultimately the bonkers bit, you know, I'm not saying Rude should have stayed, I didn't, but like, he came in, he's gone, Ashworth's gone, Rude's now on the touchline with another job on the Premier League, and it's just like, we're like a Tasmanian devil with norovirus in this shit show, and you want it all to slow down, and someone just grab it by the neck and go, calm the fuck down and sort it out. But instead, they target us, 66 quid. It'd have been nice if we'd have had a mince pie or a cup of tea during the walk, but that sort of says that they can't take any criticism on board. It's nice of Joe, good lad, there's so many good people at that club, who's going to do a thing in the programme about the Mind campaign. But you think, ultimately, at the high level, they've never been able to take any criticism. None of us like it, but have some maturity and say, you'll hear us out. But instead, they see that we criticise and they just don't want to know, and it's pretty sad. And the Ratcliffe interview, I'm glad. You see, for anyone criticising or doing the interview, it's got the publicity out there. So instead of Ratcliffe whispering such nonsense, such utter nonsense in between seats, he said it aloud, that he doesn't understand how Fulham can be, United can be cheaper than Fulham. I mean, where do you even start with that utter drivel? Fucking hell. They're so out of touch. God help us. I mean, with that level of thinking, what is going to happen next? 66, them, I just... I'm so baffled with so many things happening at this club at the moment. Like, the disgrace of the 66. Then that thinking, you think, you're going to screw it. You know, people aren't going to afford it, and you're just going to screw it. So what the fuck comes next? Get in your Mystic Meg. So be nice if we could defend set pieces, another goal gone in. Inanna, just as we start praising, it goes tits up. We know we've got it in it. I still have looked at that goal. But Bruno, you'll hear the bit we did before. It's like, we just don't have many on days, do we? You can stick your dynamic pricing up your arse. But we said at the time, how many cooks? They invited so many people in for these top level jobs, and obviously didn't realise that, oh, some might not get on. So there was a huge amount of goodwill, and it's becoming another shooting ourselves mess, and it's supposed to be best in class, and instead just throwing shit about like a sport brat, and they're losing the goodwill, and some of the decisions are lower, plunging lower than the Gimps. Imagine that. Get your shit together, and Roach can go too. United are greedy, and it's shameful at times, and I hate to say that about something we love so much. The shoots often say the phrase optics, where you're smashing the optics glass over the floor like a pissed up twat, and you're breaking it, and something that's already broken. So I do think, you know, I just think Emerson will have that, like, see the back cover of the mag. There's a few free hits. The games we've got to be winning. Well, they started off that and didn't do it. So, you know, how much did the redundancies of Eric now getting Amarin in, paying Rudolph, how much will the redundancy of Ashworth cost in 66 quid? That's the shame of it. How about you don't punish us, the fans, who've been going through thick and thin. Take it out of your wedge, eh? Or sell Avram's pram that doesn't have a fucking kid but a fucking dog in it. And United, it's since Fergie, that is in a nutshell. What the fuck is going on? I'd try maybe giving Maguire and De Ligt some game time together. I get he's trying to put them all in together to see how he does. But it's creating a bit of a mess in the short term. We've got to find a balance, and we've got to find a team that can get us through so many mad amount of games. Because I don't just throw in them like spaghetti hoops is going to work with this lot, because they're just too stupid. Mount goes missing a fair bit. Keeps saying, you know, like gets a run of games, but he's another one. Xerxes pass that just went off the pitch near the end. It was like... That felt like Fellaini, God will help us. And Unana, time wasting our own time when we're chasing a goal. It's just, laugh or cry, what are you doing? Are we too stupid for zonal marking? Just too stupid to take tactics on board, too stupid to do the basics. Martinez's volley, that was so sweet, but I don't think he's been in form for a while. And that concerns me. Is it the injury? Don't know. He's just not been right at it for a while now. It's almost like one of those seasons where you're right off the league and hope that we can get a cup run. And we are. We're potentially in the semi-finals. But you've got to get something drilled into these thick skulls because they concede so many silly goals. Selling-wise, that's the most down I've felt in a long time. Just ridiculous. My shoes are still wet, but your kindness. Someone, well-known Cockney Red called Ted, says march on, and I take that as a mental health. March on collectively, not alone. Talk to us, chat to us when we sell, but also myself, you keep me going. So people turning up, there's a collective us, just digging, march on. I just think we're the fanzines represented a community of wider United, but when Ratcliffe saying stuff like that, Fulham, I could just walk away and go, what are you doing to our club? What have they all done? You know, we questioned, as we always should, the PLC. But since 04 and Fergie's mercurial genius gone, it's just a litany of time after time of big macro and micro errors. And if you can think you can get away with charging kids 66 quid for families who haven't got much, shame on you, as I say. But we'll continue being a thorn as long as we can, but we need your help for it. Chris Wood scores goals that we don't. I thought at least Hoyland, his effort, he's banging them in a few. On the paper, sometimes I look at that squad and think, yeah, it's all right. And then I look after, when I'm down, after a defeat and think, oh God, they're not. It was about winning those against Forest and we didn't. Oh dear. So to the next one. Enjoy the Christmas market. All those lucky. Shame it's such a low allocation going to Bilsham. And then Sunday. Oh, let's hope, eh? Right, take care of yourselves, Red. Keep supporting Mind. Then, after that, if you have, please support the mag. But just take care of yourselves. The Christmas pod is a very good one. And please, please let the weather never be that fucking bad. It's bad enough when it's rain. It's bad enough when it's wind. It's bad enough when it's freezing cold. Add the three together and you saw broken fans in cellars. And unfortunately, we're a broken club. Look at that link, eh, Nathan? Take care of yourselves, everyone.